and welcome to the Pocket Gamer Podcast. It's episode number 276. I am your host, James Gilmore, and joining me today, a couple of, well, one actual newcomer and one recent addition. We've got Mr. Harry Slater.
Hello, everybody.
Hello, he's back again.
I don't know why I said it like that. I can't say hello to like a group of people without sounding like a complete moron.
Anyway, it's what everyone does. I have to sound kind of forced chirpy whenever I do the intro. And I'm kind of like, hello! Because otherwise it just sounds really monotone and flat. And no one wants that. You hear a bit of music and then some guy going, hello, you're right.
So, I'd like that, like a real shoegazy podcast. Hello.
I would just keep music playing the whole time in the background, really slow Porter's Head kind of style music, and then just drone through the rest of it.
This week we're going to talk about angry birds.
They're really, really angry. It's rubbish. Yeah. But who's this at the very bottom of the stream, as you can see? We're on Twitch again, audio listeners, as usual. And at the very bottom of the stream is our proper newcomer. It's Danny.
Hello, everyone.
Hello. That's good. He's waving, but it's audio, so we have to say hello. People know him, right? If you watch Twitch, you might know him, but you only know his name because he pops up in the chat room. He's our moderator. He's the guy who's always talking to you lot in the chat room. Only this time, he's decided to show his face. And like I say, we always knew he had a face, however hard he tried to conceal it. Mm. And there it is.
He tries
very often. And there it is. It's right there. You've been telling us the history of his housing situation. Which I took a shine to. I think it's brilliant because we're all in like houses or flats, I assume. I'm in a flat. Where are you, Harry?
I'm in a hedge.
You're in a hedge, right, with a bookcase in the background. So it's quite a well-to-do hedge.
Oh, yeah.
One of those wind in the willow style hedges.
No, it's delightful. Get free burgers that people throw out of their cars.
We shouldn't have allowed you on this podcast thing. No. So it opened up a dangerous box full of terror. Speaking of which... where are you, Danny?
I'm where it looks like I'm in a corridor. That's because I'm slightly in a corridor. I'm kind of in a home for people with dementia, but that doesn't mean I'm someone with dementia necessarily. It was that,
right?
Like a few years ago, and now I'm living here, preventing squatters from moving in from just my presence.
Right. So it's like essentially an abandoned mental ward. Is that what you're saying?
A little bit, yeah.
And you're the caretaker?
A little bit, yeah.
So you are living in The Shining?
Well, I mean, I haven't gone crazy yet, but I have been working a lot and not playing very much.
I hear that's one of the first steps towards chasing your spouses and loved ones round the corridors with an axe. I see that there is a fire extinguisher in the background. I suspect there's one of them fire axes around somewhere as well.
I've got a fire extinguisher, so there must be a fire axe, you would think.
Is that a first aid kit as well behind you?
Just in case, you know? You never know what's going to happen.
We do know what's going to happen, and it's terrifying.
We know exactly what's going to happen.
I've seen that film. Awesome. Well, Peter's not here this week. He is away. Actually, don't know where he is today. I think he's at another wedding or something. I don't know. Sometimes he's on businessy trips and talking to developers and doing video game things. But I think this time he's just probably getting drunk in a church. Most people wait till after the church to get drunk. Peter just rocks up there with a big bottle of Bacardi. And when they say, does anyone have any reason why these two shouldn't be legally wed? He goes, Afala, I love you lot. And then he lobs the Bacardi at the priest.
I don't know what you're talking about either.
Perhaps I'm going to discover that it is my house which is the mental ward all along. And that's the twist in this strange movie that we're all involved in. So welcome, everybody. Thanks for turning up. And let us do some updates. First on this week's update, Surgeon Simulator is what it's called, and we played it almost to completion. I think we actually completed it on one of the streams we did previously, which took us slightly by surprise. It's been out for a while. It is quite good fun in a slightly sketchy sort of way. The controls are really all over the place, but they're sort of supposed to be... But they've released an update for it. I think it's actually out right now, and it is the Alien Autopsy update. You can see a video of it playing to one side, and as you would imagine, it swaps out Bob, the patient, for some grey alien dude, and you have to do a whole bunch of operations on him. Have you played this yet, Harry?
Haven't even played the non-alien version.
Oh, really?
It went elsewhere for review, and if it doesn't come to me for review, it's rare that I actually get a chance to play anything, unfortunately. So, I'd love to cut up men and aliens, and I just didn't get the chance.
Well, and frankly, so who wouldn't? Have you been anywhere near it, Danny, on either PC or iOS?
I bought it in a Steam sale a long time ago, but I only had like a very short go at it, and I realized I couldn't really play it at all, and I gave up.
I think that's sort of the point of it, though. It's a strange game where the bad controls add to the fun of it a bit. It's weird, because usually it would be a crippling factor, but here it's supposed to be kind of entertaining, because you wind up accidentally ripping out intestines and stuffing them up nostrils and all that.
I find it funny watching like other people play, but me playing by myself on my own, it seems a bit just frustrating.
Okay. I think people do find that. It's done incredibly well on YouTube because it is a fun game to watch because it looks kind of daft. However, if you've already completed the iPad version, which we did on one of the Twitch streams previously, because there's only like four different operations, and then those same four operations only you're on a moving gurney. So in total, only eight different types of operation you can do. Now, there's an entirely new level with alien in it, and six new transplants. And I presume instead of removing lungs and stuff, you're removing esophageal ganglions and splenodactic bog warblers and... I don't know what they call alien organs, but probably something weird. It's free, which is a good sign, so you can get on that right now. You also get improved support for the iPad, apparently, the iPad 3 specifically, because it's been a little bit iffy up until now, and a whole bunch of achievement points and things like that you can get as well. So fill your boots and get involved with that. Also, out this week, Angry Birds Star Wars 2 has got a new update called Rise of the Clones. This adds 40 new levels to the game, 20 of the pork side levels and 20 of the bird side. That's what they're called, isn't it? For light and dark.
I just call them light and dark side because I do not bow to other people's impressions of what things should be called.
Yes, concise. Because you did not get involved in that nonsense branded Angry Birds thingy. What happens? Yeah. Fair enough. Well, you get new planets, which gives you extra elements to, like, obstacles and valves and things that affect the way your birds fly and whatnot. You've got Kamino, which has got fast-flowing water, apparently, and Coruscant, which has got air turbines, which give birds an additional boost. There's apparently also a secret level or two snuck in there amongst those 40. The download's free again, so if you've got the game and you're still playing it or you've given up now because it was run out of content, then... now's the time to get back involved. Also, Real Racing 3, which is never not being updated. It's got a huge, massive chunk of content this time out with the Le Mans update, which is that 24-hour French race where you just race round and round and round for a day, and always struck me as a bit dull. I remember they used to show it on TV when I was a kid, and my dad's into motor racing, so he would watch it, and I was just like, oh, really? Just this for a day? This doesn't make for thrilling television.
They don't even overtake each other, really. They just, when one of them goes to sleep, that's when they go past.
Is that what happens? They just pull over to the lay-by and have a little snooze for 20 minutes, and then take
off.
It's
like
again.
A welcome break. there's a little chef.
And a Costa.
Yeah.
Lovely.
Delightful.
I don't know if they've got Costas in the update. What it does have is a Porsche 919 hybrid, the Audi R18 Quattro, and the Toyota a bunch of numbers hybrid. I'm not saying the numbers because they don't bloody mean anything, do they? No one actually cares about the numbers. And obviously, it's got an entire new single-player campaign stage based around the Le Mans race. I'm going to assume there isn't a mode which lets you actually race for 24 hours, though that would be badass.
I think there's a sunset.
And that's going
to... Yeah, I think, like, the sun goes down in one of the races, and you're like, oh, it's night now. But, yeah, there's no 24-hour race. That would be...
There was a 24-hour race in, like, the Dreamcast's Le Mans 24 Hours game. Yeah. You could just play it solidly for 24 hours. I don't know if you could even save. That must have been fun.
That's commitment. I approve of that. When I played the old... there was an F1 game on my Amiga. And there was a mode where you could set it to full race. So you'd race the 73 laps or whatever, and it would take 2 hours if you decided to do it. Very rarely ever people decide to do that. But I like the fact that it gives you the option. I like to know it's there, so I can then ignore it and never ever do it. But yeah, you can download both those updates free. It's available both on the App Store and Google Play Store, so it doesn't matter which platform you got. The upgrade is there and waiting for you. So go and get your race on and that. So Sony has teased the release of the Ratchet and Clank HD trilogy for Vita. This came out on PS3 like a couple of years back, didn't it? 2012, I think it arrived. It just bundles together the three Ratchet and Clank games. Now, were they all of the same generation, or is it like a remastered version of like an old PS1 or PS2 game, or what?
They were all out on the PS2, weren't they? 1, 2, and 3.
Is that what they were? Okay, so they're all...
I think so.
All right. Yeah. And I didn't actually realise this at the time, because I remember when Ratchet & Clank first turned up, and it's quite good fun, and it's one of the better 3D platformers that was around. And Insomniac Games is the responsible party, isn't it? And they're quite good. But mainly, I didn't realise that almost all the titles of the games are filthy double entendres.
Really?
Yeah, really. The first one's Ratchet and Clank, right? Second one is called Ratchet and Clank Going Commando.
Right.
Okay. The third one is called Ratchet and Clank Up Your Arsenal. I never noticed that. Apparently, Ratchet and Clank is a filth franchise.
I might get it then.
So what they're saying is that it's going to be available on Vita. I think it's going to be out on July the 2nd in Europe on the PS Store. It's going to be a download. You'll be able to buy it for €30, and I imagine it'll turn up for X number of pounds. I suppose it's going to be about 30 quid. We usually get stiffed when that stuff is concerned. The Australian audience will be able to get it on July the 9th, and I don't know about the US audience, but presumably it'll be PSN only. I don't know if you can buy physical copies. You've actually got a Vita, Harry. How many of the games come as physical releases? Do they tend to do both, or is it just one or the other, either physical or digital?
I think there's some sort of bigger ones, like Killzone was a physical, and I think the early sort of games like the Uncharted and Gravity Rush, right, I think was physical. But nowadays, it tends to, especially with ports and stuff, they just tend to whack them on the PSN store rather than doing them as physical. I think Borderlands got a physical release, but that was rubbish, apparently. So.
Yeah, well, Borderlands 2? Borderlands 2 was rubbish on the Vita.
Apparently.
Really? How come? Because we did cover the fact that it was coming over, but we never saw the review.
We didn't get review code, but from what I've read of other lesser sites, yes, who I won't name here.
Of course not.
It was just a chuggy monkey. It just wouldn't work.
Oh, really?
Too much.
Oh, dearie me.
So that was quite disappointing. I think it averaged out sort of sixes.
Ooh.
So.
That's pathetic. Oh, well, fair enough. Well, this should run a little bit better, one would hope, because these are older generation games running on nice new swanky tech. And if you are a fan of the trilogy, say, keep your eye out on the PSN. That's going to be July the 2nd for Ratchet & Clank HD Trilogy, so keep them peeled. Moving on to a slightly more... this is a jumping off point for a different conversation, I suppose. A game called Frontline Road to Moscow was released a couple of weeks, maybe even a month or so back, right? Mm. So it came out, and it's one of those top-down strategy-style games in which you take control of, is it World War II stuff again? I think, yeah.
Yeah, it's the drive, it's the German campaign, the attack into Russia.
Gotcha, okay. And that came out, and it, you know, just appeared on the App Store to not ever so much fanfare, but I think it's all right. I think it's not the first game. The Frontline is a running series, isn't it?
There's loads of them that are sort of being released at the moment that are based around various conflicts in that sort of that Eastern Front of World War II. There's a lot of them coming out at the moment for some reason.
Gotcha. Well, they released an update for it recently, the 1.01 update. In response to the update, Apple decided to give it a 17-plus age rating, apparently for its depiction of guns and gun-related activities. Which is, it's a bit weird for a few reasons, right? So what that does, just to put it in clarity, like the 17-plus age rating, it doesn't necessarily affect other people too much. You have to prove your age in your App Store account, and they do it usually via credit cards and stuff like that. So it can restrict you from downloading a game if it doesn't think you're the appropriate age. Also, in certain countries, like conservative mobile markets, people are pointing out places like Brazil, Saudi Arabia, South Korea, that anything of that age rating basically stops you downloading the game at all. So for some places around the world, the 17 plus certificate is like a death knell and prevents you from like getting hold of it whatsoever. The thing is that the update itself, which prompted the ban, so people are like, what did they update it with? Did they update it with a nice, awful torture scene or, you know, some extreme pornography or something really hardcore or bizarre? Apparently, the 1.01 update just got rid of some bugs and made zero alteration to the content whatsoever. So it leads into sort of a bigger question with Apple in general, which is the way that they choose to curate their store, and it's a recurring theme on the podcast and the sites as well, because it's so difficult to get a handle on what it is they like and what it is they don't like. It seems, from an outside perspective, like they kind of like put on a blindfold and spin around a few times and then just go, that one, ban that one. And I can't see the rhyme or reason to it.
It's a strange one, I think. Especially because it's, as you say, it's an update that didn't change anything. And as I said before, there are tens of these coming out at the moment. There are loads of them coming out that are based around various conflicts in World War II. It's almost as if the license for World War II has just run out and everyone's pounced on it to try and get their own World War II game out. Because there's all those tank battle games as well that keep coming out, which are all set in World War II. But there's no realistic depiction of gunplay in Frontline or Outer Moscow. People shoot each other. But there's as much real, like if I was doing this now, pew, 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 that's more realistic. Half of Gameloft's output with all their dire shooters, that aren't dire, some of them are actually quite good, but that's more realistic.
Yeah, it's more, I suppose, I hate the word visceral they always use, where you're, the more accurate the representation of on-screen violence, the more worrying it becomes, and usually the harder the censorship comes down upon it. But in this case, it is much more like top-down strategy, little guys going pew pew pew, and you can't really see any violence, and I'd see no reason why this should be 17+. And as people have pointed out elsewhere, you've got other games, like, for example, the Warhammer 40k Carnage game, which we reviewed recently, which is like quite up and close in your face, albeit sci-fi, and you're shooting aliens.
That's the difference, that they're not people. They've got, you know, probably purple blood or something like that. So it's all...
No, it's very, very, very red, the blood in Carnage. But like I say, it could be they actually are people, because obviously it's a reasonably historically accurate thing. But still, that doesn't make sense, because there are so many other vaguely historically accurate battlers that have come out recently that haven't been censored.
Yeah.
I think James is right. I think it is just a blindfold on, spin round, whichever one you're sick on, that's the one that we're going to ban.
Well, I guess it's very difficult, and we can criticise them, but the amount of content that they have to curate is just enormous, and so things are going to obviously slip through the cracks. But when you see some of the decisions, just like, I don't understand quite how that works. It's funny you mentioned the colour of the blood, Danny, because that is true. That is a way, notoriously, in movies as well, you get past censorship. When they released the original Evil Dead, that got banned as a video nasty in the UK, and when they did Evil Dead 2, they got around the ban by making a lot of the blood green. Because by some kind of spurious logic, if it's green, it's not blood, even though it's performing the same role, and therefore you can sneak past with an 18 certificate without it going X-rated. Which is just an amusing way of getting past the censors, but totally works. So you're right, if you're blowing up orcs and stuff, they might be a little less sensitive to it than if you're blowing up Russians. Either way, I don't understand. Unless they reverse the decision, it really will be a case of this game won't be available in those countries. And if they have decided that this one's bad, presumably they could just turn around and ban the entire line. The whole Frontline saga could give it a 17+ rating, and that would remove it from a lot of app stores around the world. So yeah, if you did want to play the game, then tough. If you're in those countries. Sorry. Unless they reverse the decision. There you go. Something you should be able to play, though, without too much controversy or hassle, is Lego Batman 3. It's called Beyond Gotham, is the subtitle, and it's coming to 3DS and Vita this autumn. So, yet another addition in the long-running Lego franchise. Who is a Lego fan around these parts? Danny?
I used to play with Lego. like the Lego games, I played a few of them, but I don't really get it.
No?
It's like you knock things about and they turn into Lego and you collect them and that's it.
Yes.
Well, maybe I'm missing something. I don't know.
You're missing the childlike joy of assembling a funny thing and then it turning into a platform or a gun or a Gandalf or something. and then throwing it at an enemy and him smashing into bits and you collecting all the bits. No? That do nothing for you?
Yeah, that's what you're missing.
Shay, well, it's still massive, and it's still... Like, even with the fact that most of the games are pretty much identical, and they are, let's be honest, it still manages to achieve pretty good reviews consistently. People kind of give the whole saga, the whole franchise, a green card to do whatever they like. It really feels like people go, oh, it's a LEGO game, that's fine, 7 out of 10, that's all right. Apart from, I did notice the most recent one, I don't know if it was the Avengers game or something like that, and it was a buggy. It was a bit buggy and iffy. And it was the first time I'd seen any actual kickback against the whole LEGO franchise.
I think some of the iOS ports have been frowned upon, certainly by us, because they were a bit balked.
Oh, really?
They weren't like full port. I think some of the recent handheld versions as well, the 3DS and Vita stuff, has been a bit half-arsed. Oh. Almost, that you've sort of had these really good console experiences, and then it's been a bit sort of, I always take that bit out.
Right.
I could be making that up. Well, that's the crazy power I have.
To say words with reckless abandon. I played the Lord of the Rings one, that port, on the iOS. Mm. That was fine. That was good. It was all right. The problem with them is that you're still suffering from the port situation. So you either have to use the virtual stick, which is all right, but not perfect, or you use a touch interface with swipes and stuff, which, again, is all right, but not perfect. Neither really suits the game 100%. For this one, LEGO Batman 3 Beyond Gotham, it's going to pick up after LEGO Batman DC Superheroes, and apparently you've got the Legion of Doom, led by Brainiac, taking over the Justice League's Watchtower, which is the space thing that orbits the Earth, which is their little space HQ. And then Brainiac uses the lantern rings to shrink worlds, and then superheroes do superhero things, and it doesn't really matter what I say, because as Danny pointed out, you're just going to run along on a platform, and you're going to smash a thing, and he's going to burst into coins and studs, and you're going to collect them. And you're going to do that for 8 hours, and then it'll finish.
Yay!
Exactly. But it's generally quite good fun. I'm not down on these games at all. The main thing that I think suffers for the iOS versions, and this won't apply as much to the 3DS and Vita, because I think you can do multiplayer on them, is the lack of multiplayer. Like, these games are good when there's two or more people playing. That's what makes it fun. Yeah. Trotting through the single-player campaign by itself is a bit eh, and the iOS ports generally have been single-player only. So for that reason, I think you automatically have to deduct at least a point, because that's sort of what the fun of the game is. It's getting together with your friends, or even, I imagine, if you're a parent, get together with your kids and stuff, so you can play without people getting worried about Russians getting shot and stuff like that. So it's all family-friendly and rather jolly. When is it going to be hitting? 3DS and Vita sometime in the autumn. We don't have a precise release date yet, but obviously AppSpy and Pocket Gamer will put up stories as soon as we know, and we'll keep you in the loop. And the fact that it is coming to 3DS and Vita usually means that it will eventually edge its way towards iOS, because we've got the Batman game, DC Superheroes, whatever it's called, that appeared on iOS a year or two back, so this will probably follow suit at some point. And about this week, Dragon Quest VIII has appeared on iOS, iPhone and iPad for this one. If you're not familiar with it, we are talking classic JRPG action from the PS2 era, isn't it?
Yep. Yeah.
I'm guessing that, Danny, you'll be slightly more familiar with this than I will. Or am I making a wild assumption there?
No, I did. I played through a lot of it until... had one of those wireless PS2 controllers, and it ran out of batteries, so I just stopped playing.
Really?
Yeah, I got like, I don't know, 60 hours in or something like that, but I was really enjoying it. Yeah, and it looks great. I haven't played the iOS version yet, but it looks like it's pretty much the entire game, and I don't know what else I would want to play on handheld more, you know?
Yeah. Well, I mean, I've got it on the iPad now, but I have yet to play it because I've been doing other videos. Ari, have you had a look yet?
I have had a look. I am doing the review for pocketgamer.co.uk.
Ooh, lovely.
I'm playing it on an iPad also, and let me tell you, the controls are a bit uncomfortable on an iPad.
Because
the way they've done it Okay, I'm going to do some visual cues here, but I'll still talk.
Go on then.
So, this is an iPhone. Okay.
All our users, this is an iPhone, if you're not familiar.
This is an iPhone.
Excellent.
They're quite new. And you can hold this comfortably in one hand, like that, as I am doing on the stream. And you can, your one thumb sort of wibbles around in the middle, and that's quite comfy. And that's how they've designed it for the controls on the mobile version.
Right.
But the iPad version, now this is an iPad in quite a large case.
It's like an iPhone, only bigger.
It's bigger.
Yeah.
Okay, but the controls are still in the middle. They're still sort of here.
Oh.
So you're kind of, there's no comfortable way to sort of do it, because your thumb just about reaches, but then you just get kind of uncomfortable thumb strain, like this. Ah, that hurts. So you can sort of play it with one finger like this, but that's not really comfortable either. It's still a lovely, lovely game, and it's a really nice port. If you've got one of those new iPads with the Smell-O-Vision, it probably smells good.
Yep, delicious.
That control... He's a bit... you might be able to move it. I've only done sort of an hour and a half of it, maybe a bit more than that so far. It's my to-do thing after this delightful conversation ends.
The interesting thing that I noticed was the fact that they've done it in portrait mode, which is really rare. We've seen a lot of JRPGs transferred onto iOS, specifically the Square Enix ones, and the whole Final Fantasy saga appears eventually. This one, rather than being a landscape mode, you're playing it, like you say, holding it with one hand, one thumb in the middle, and the whole thing is displayed in upright portrait mode, which is really unusual, but watching the video, it actually looks like it works quite well.
Yeah, I think it does. I guess the thing is, as well, with JRPGs of that age, the backgrounds and stuff, they're not that spectacular. They look alright, they're nice, solid 3D stuff, but you're not missing much by having that sort of tighter angle shot around your main gentle, whatever he is, I don't know, and he's got a sword.
No idea.
And again, it works quite well with the combat. With it being the portrait ways, you might have a few more taps to do, but it all sits quite nicely in there. I'm enjoying it so far. Just apart from that,
people are saying that there's no voice acting in it. Now, is that true of the original game, or did the original game have voiceover and it's been removed?
I think the original had quite a good UK, well, Western voice cast, didn't it?
Yeah, it had. It sounded quite British. Like really quite British and very good overall, like the voice acting. Is there no music either?
Well, people are saying there's no music. There must be music.
There's music. The music's quite annoying. I was in a bar and it's all, no. I could see why people were drinking. But no, there's definitely music, but there is no voice cast unless there's an option to turn it on that I haven't found yet, because I don't look at all the options. Maybe I should.
Probably take up even more space, wouldn't it? A full voiceover cast. Peter is an obsessive over this game. He's always banging on about the Dragon Quest games, 7 particularly. But so he got very excited by this and then promptly decided not to be here to talk about it. So I'm going to find a way to lock him out of the account so he can't play it. That's what you get for abandoning us. Either way, you can get this right now, apparently on both iPhone, iPad, and on Android as well.
It's on Android as well?
Yeah, yes. There you go, the full coverage. So, it'll cost you, however, £13.99, which translates to $19.99. So, as usual, it's not very cheap. But, who made it? Who's the publisher? Oh, look,
it's Square
Enix game. Oh, imagine that.
I would just like to make a point about the price while we're here.
Okay.
I mean, $30.99, yeah, is quite expensive for a game, but like Danny said, he put 60 hours into it and he hadn't finished it on the PS2 version. Mm-hmm. So you're getting a massive chunk of game, and I think I wrote about this a while back when XCOM came out.
No, it's true. You do get an immense amount of game out of XCOM, and it was really new as well. It's very recent. I think some people might object with the Square Enix stuff because it's like 10 or 15 years old.
But if you've not played it before, then 14 quid for 60 plus hours of game is a good deal. I think we get this thing in mobile gaming where people say, oh, free-to-play games are really bad and they're ruining it, and we don't want that. But the same people say, I don't want to pay 14 quid for 60 hours worth of game on my phone, which kind of, you can't have both. Yeah. You can't not like both. You're not going to get the 2 quid games all the time, because big games are always going to cost more to make. So it's a difficult balance to strike, but I think $13.99 for 60 plus hours of portrait wise JRPG is actually, that's a pretty good deal, really.
And specifically, I think it's going to appeal to people who are fans of this sort of thing. It is a kind of a niche franchise over here, anyway. I understand it's massive in Japan. But yeah, if you wanted to grab it, them's the prices, and Android and iOS as well. So you can grab it right now. Also available, The Wolf Among Us has just released the fourth episode of, I believe, its five-episode run, I'm going to say. It is called, what's it called? In Sheep's Clothing, because of wolves and that. I've been playing through this, and we've been playing through it on Twitch, actually. We did a few playthroughs, like the first two or three chapters. And, I sort of fell out of love with it as I was playing. Like, it was... I loved the world initially when I started playing it, but the plot machinations, I thought a couple of places it cheated a little bit by suggesting something had happened when it hadn't, and I thought that was a bit of a cop-out. And I just didn't find it as compelling. The main problem was I don't feel like Bigby is a character who you can control a great deal in terms of his moral choices and stuff like that. He's a very set in stone character, and even when I try and play it through nice, I seem to get pretty much the same results at the other end. And I've been feeling like, well, he's not really my character. He is this guy. He is this gruff werewolfy chap who, you know, smokes, and no matter whether I'm kind of nice or kind of nasty, it all feels pretty much the same thing.
I think that the difference is that because this is set before the comic book Fables, and because this character already exists in the comic, that he kind of has to do certain things, maybe, or act a certain way, whereas like in The Walking Dead, it was a new character who was created. So, you know, you were playing through and you could go almost any which way you wanted to go, even though the results were pretty much always the same. But you felt a lot more in control, yeah.
I know what you mean. I think you do feel like you have a little bit more agency in the Walking Dead series. I certainly did with Lee at the beginning anyway. That said, all the early noise about this episode is it is the best episode yet. I think now the story threads are starting to come together. I imagine it all picks up. We were also talking about this, and it's very difficult to review these games. Because of their episodic nature, you're essentially reviewing like acts of an overall story or chapters of a book, if you like. And one chapter of a book might be seem flat or lacking in action because it's setting up something else that's to come. So, but if you just play that in isolation or just read that chapter in isolation, you might go, oh, this book's rubbish. But actually, it's leading into a greater thing further down the line. So it becomes very difficult to do it. And I've held off. I did reviews of The Walking Dead stuff and one of The Wolf Among Us, but I've held off from doing other video reviews because it's impossible to do it without spoilers. It's impossible to capture any footage of this stuff and do a 2-minute video review without someone going, spoilers, spoilers. And if you've already, you know, played through it, then you probably don't need the review. So it's kind of a difficult thing to cover. Either way, you can get it right now. As I say, all early reports have been good. I don't know who's doing it for Pocket Gamer. Do you know who's reviewing this one?
I think Mark's done them all.
Yeah, I think Mark's done it.
I think that's what we do as well, like you say, so they're not so in isolation that we get the same guy to review them all the time. But I think the thing is as well, you compare it to like to the chapters in a book, but these things come out months apart sometimes. So I agree, it is difficult to review them sort of in that it is the middle of a story, I guess. But at the same time, someone's waited 2 months for this middle of the story to come out, if you see what I mean. So it can be disappointing when it's not as wham-bam as you wanted it.
I guess. Want it to be satisfying in its own right. It should be able to stand alone, ideally.
Yeah.
No, I'm inclined to agree, and that's why I've been slightly iffy with some of them recently. But it's out right now, £2.99 for the individual episode, or $4.99 as usual. And if you've got a season pass, then obviously it's free, and you can just download it outright. So there you go, Wolf Among Us. Also, Battleheart Legacy came out this week. This has been in the works for some time. We've got trailers going back to 2012 for this game, and it was one of the early popular RPG type games on iOS, I think. The original Battleheart was, anyway. It's been called a sequel, but in some ways it's more of a reimagining. At least that's how the developer Mika Mobile is phrasing it. So the original game was 2D and cartoony and very highly rated and had a really good weapon system and inventory management and skill trees and stuff like that, which sounds techie and boring, but is actually very good in these kind of combat RPGs. this time they've taken all that 2D art and they've turned it into a 3D world. So it still resembles the art style of the original game. It keeps the essence of it, but it has been transported into the third dimension and looks kind of cool. It almost looks a little tiny bit Lego-y. The art style does, anyway. Almost like a Lego-y mixed with Final Fantasy VII, but neater, less jaggy. I don't know if Mika Mobile is a developer or a person, because it's really weirdly phrased, because it says Mika says this. But he says it isn't just Battle Heart refreshed with a couple of tweaks, it's extra things. So you get, as well as the party-based combat between knights, rogues, wizards, all the stuff you had before, it's a non-linear RPG with exploration and storytelling at its heart, so they say. You get 12 playable classes, loads of unique skills and additional bits of playable equipment that you can use. And there is a little hardcore fan base that's been waiting a long, long time for this. So I'm excited to actually play it, only for a few seconds. I don't suppose either of you have had a go?
No.
Any off chance?
No, I played the original like a ridiculous amount. But,
oh, really?
Yeah. But
so how did you find it? Because I say I played it a little bit because I wrote a story on it at one point, and so I played it out of games journalism obligation to vaguely know what I'm talking about, but only for a little bit. How did you find the first one?
I found it really addictive for about a week, and then once I'd leveled up people enough, I kind of fizzled out a little bit. But I'm not convinced by the new art style.
Oh, really?
To be honest. No, I mean, maybe it looks better, you know, on the screen, but I'm just not convinced at the moment because it was just so pretty, the original, like the kind of cartoon style graphics.
Was it a big, long sort of narrative storyline? Because I played it for a while, but I didn't get to get too far into the plot. Or was it?
I don't remember any story at all. I just remember going into, you know, fields and battling giant guys. That's about it.
Right on. And there does appear to be a fair amount of this going on in the trailer that we can see. But as soon as I mentioned this, I mentioned it on Twitter and I mentioned it online, people popped up going, oh, it's Battle Heart, finally! So there clearly is a kind of a long-lasting love for this one, and it'll be nice to see how well this one has turned out and whether the fan base approves. But you can find out right now, it's out Battle Heart Legacy. It's £2.99 or $4.99 out on both UK and US app stores this very moment, so go for it. Also out, Ion Bond is a puzzler which involves joining up sort of particles, positively and negatively charged particles, and fusing them and getting rid of them off a little map screen and moving on to the next level. And I don't think it's that good. Anyone played it?
I played about 12 minutes.
Okay.
12 minutes of it. Right. Just for, again, journalistic. I was writing about it, so I thought, yeah, I know what I was talking about. I didn't dislike it. It seemed to have some quite nice ideas. It was, the art style seemed to clash a bit with itself. Mm-hmm. There was sort of bits where tendrils came out of, which I liked,
yeah.
But then sort of it was a bit basic the rest of it, but I certainly thought it had potential from the 12 and a half minutes that I played of it.
Well, we reviewed it on AppSpy, the video's up right now. We gave it a 3 because I'm in sort of agreement. The idea's interesting, and as you can see from the video, that you're joining up the particles, you're basically swiping across the screen to link positively and negatively charged ions, and when you got opposing charges, they draw towards one another, and then if they fuse and if they're the same colour, you get rid of them. So it's kind of a colour matching thing, but done with this physics electromagnetic element. Which is kind of cool, but I think the visuals are nasty. Like, you're right that the actual particles themselves, they look a little bit shaded and stuff, but the mazes, the areas in which they're kept, the borders, if you look at the corners of them, they're like they've been done in paint. They've got really nasty, pixelated, jaggedy stuff, and it just looks rubbish. And then you're right, when it collides, it does a quite slick-looking explosion of little, like, tendrils or strands of something. So it looks like a whole bunch of different assets pulled from different games. The other issue on the touchscreen is that you have to join stuff together, and eventually you're using momentum and things as the particles are moving. And once they pick up momentum, you might want to swipe and get rid of the join that is connecting them together and let them float along on their own. The swipe to disconnect command works 50% of the time.
Right.
The rest of the time, it just doesn't. You can see in our review where it leaves a vapor trail where your finger has traced along the screen. And you can quite clearly see it swiping the line, and it's not cutting. And that happens consistently throughout the game, which isn't great when that's one of your primary mechanics. So the idea is sound enough, but I think there are issues there. About a 3 out of 5, maybe an update will fix the connection problems. If you feel like giving it a gamble, 69p or 99 cents, iPhone and iPad right now. Trains Simulator 2. Now we're talking. Harry's pumping fists in the air in joy and glory at the promise of simulating trains with his Z.
Oh, yeah. Only with a Z.
Danny, do you do sim games? Do you do The Sims or City Simulators or any of that stuff?
No.
Well, I had to ask because there's what looks like a map pinned up in the back behind you. I assume that's telling you where all the relative mental patients are, maybe. Maybe it's a calendar. I don't know. It looks like a map to me with pins in it, so I didn't know if you were...
It's a map, yes. It's a map.
Well, no, mappy people tend to like simmy games. That is a constant I have seen throughout. People who are interested in looking at maps and geography and all that kind of crap. I've got a friend who used to have maps up in the flat he was in because he likes geography and he likes to know where things are in the world. That's a good thing to know. And as a result, when he sees a strategy game, you know, it's an interactive top-down map and you get to move things around it. And they love all that stuff. But not yourself.
No, I mean, I've enjoyed watching other people play, like, the Euro Truck Simulator.
Oh, yeah.
That's quite a bit of fun. But, I mean, I couldn't imagine sitting there and playing it on my own and thinking, yeah, I'm really enjoying driving this truck to France.
I think they just need to find the sim for you. I imagine everyone has a sim that's just for them. Because they go into very niche categories now. Because you've got your train sim, your city sims and all that. But you've also got your goat sims, if you want to be a goat.
I might be into that. I think I will try goat sim. I'll do it, yeah.
And your truck simulators and your, like the truck simulator made me laugh. Literally, you're just driving a truck across country for hours. With every little minute detail of the truck recreated, and I'm like, what? I have no idea why anyone would buy that. But there must be a very, very narrow group who are very into that sort of thing. If trains are your thing, then Train Simulator 2, available right now on the app stores. What do you get? A big load of features, apparently. Multiplayer modes, if you want to do that. Maybe just another train pulls up alongside your station. I guess that's all
you can race the trains, that's what it is.
Oh, really? Train racing?
No, I don't think so.
Oh, damn, I thought you knew a thing there. Never mind. yeah, so it's going to be like all the other sim games from the screenshots we've seen so far and the video we've seen. It's loads of stat-based mappy menu management stuff. It's all like, you know, making tiny little micro adjustments to your little...
And you, like, build your own train lines and stuff as well. So you're like, there's like terrain and you have to flatten it out. And, oh, trains, it looks so boring. I just don't care. I don't like sim games. But, you know, some people like... Good on you.
Yeah, good on you, exactly.
Best of luck.
If trains are your bag, then you can get it right now. It's going to cost you, though. It's £4.99 or $6.99 available. I'm going to say iPad only. Yes, it is iPad only because you need more screen for all them maps and menus and that. And the occasional train too. So Train Simulator 2 out right now.
Come sit upon the throne of games.
What a cheery song that is. Never get tired of it. So, first up this week, we're going to have Danny sitting upon the throne of games, as it's your first time. And you're going to talk about a game that's already playing in the video to our collective right. What have you been playing this week?
I've been playing Lemming's Touch on Vita. Yes, it's quite posh. It's really my first time playing Lemmings properly, like all the way
really?
Through. I mean, I know it's crazy, but I was always more of a, I know they're not really similar, but I was always more focused on playing Worms and all the Worms games whenever I had free time. Okay. And I just, Lemmings never really appealed to me that much, but I've been really getting into it now. And, like compared to, you know, all the previous versions we've seen on like the PSP and the PC and stuff like that. Mm. It looks really crisp visually. It's quite nice indeed. And
it's very cartoony. They've gone for this 3D look now, haven't they? Faux 3D.
Yeah, but I think there was like a Lemmings 3D maybe on like the PS1 or something like that, but it looks god awful. But this looks just really almost comic book like or something like that. And yeah, you can customize your Lemmings if you're into that kind of thing. They've got different challenges, like you know, like you've got in Jetpack Joyride or Punch Quest, where if you do certain things or you complete tasks a certain way, you get coins, and then you can customize your Lemmings. So I've got mine dressed up as goth rockers for some reason.
Excellent.
Yeah. So yeah, instead of a shovel, they're using an axe, as in like a guitar axe.
Oh, nice.
And, yeah, with their little headphones on and just black hair and black everything else.
Yeah.
But yeah, I'm not that good at it. I've been struggling for a long time on some of the puzzles. Like, you've got an Angry Bird sort of system where you can 3-star each level, like, depending on how well you do. Okay. And I'm just abysmal at 3-starring, like, any of the later difficulties.
Right. See, I'm very familiar with Lemmings because I was an Amiga kid, and, you know, Amiga was the thing for Lemmings when it first came out. That's where it lived. And I saw subsequent versions of it obviously appear over time. The most immediate versions were, like, the Mega Drive versions and stuff like that. But as soon as they ported it to games that only had controllers I was like, this is horrible, having to use, like, I think it was even on the Master System at one point, we had to use the bloody thick stupid square, like, you can't do anything quick enough in order to complete the game. It was really one of those games that demanded you had a mouse, and so it sat beautifully on the Amiga. With the touchscreen abilities of the Vita, is it just the touch that you're using, or do you use the directional controls and the analog sticks, or what?
In terms of moving around the map and controlling the Lemmings, it's all done via touch, and it's all, you know, pretty straightforward. I haven't had any problems with it at all. And then you use the L trigger for pausing time, mm-hmm. and resuming, and the R trigger for speeding up time. Right. Yeah, and it all works just fine. I mean, the only reason I'm failing all of them is because of my logic and lack of skill.
It did get quite tricky towards the end. But I know, it was such just a beautifully designed thing. I really enjoyed it. Did you play much Lemmings, Harry? Were you involved back in the day?
In my youth, yeah, I was an Amiga kid as well. So,
oh, are you? I didn't know that. Outstanding.
Yeah. Well, I stole my brother's.
Good work.
He was smaller than me by then, so it was fine. but yeah, I played quite a lot of Lemmings. Not religiously, I don't think, but I did. It was just one of those games where you sat down and you thought, oh, let's play some Lemmings. And then you had to go to school because you'd stayed up all night playing Lemmings.
Yeah, it really was. Yeah. There's something massively compulsive about it. And they got the design right. They got the little, let's go, right, stuff at the beginning. And the music, taking all those, like, classical themes generally and digitizing them, it all really worked and just came together brilliantly. Even Tribes was quite good fun as well. The second one was jolly. But yeah, I haven't got involved with the remakes or the retools or the new versions. So this is completely new content, right? This touch version, it's not like a version remade for touch. It's properly brand new. I think we've lost Danny. He's now been replaced.
Danny's gone.
He's got a picture of him sucking on a toffee apple, which is kind of awesome. I like that. That's brilliant.
The ghosts finally got him.
He should reappear again at some point. But luckily, he had finished, in my estimation, talking about Lemmings. The internet decided.
Bye, Danny.
That's enough of you, Danny. But that worked out fine. You can, I presume, you're getting it right now, and it's a download that's available via the PSN if you wanted to get it and get involved with that. Hopefully, Danny will pop up again at some point. But in the meantime, I'm going to have a chat about what I've been playing while we try and recover Danny. Watch Dogs. Companion CTOS Mobile, to give it its full and awkward title.
Isn't there a TM in there as well?
Quite possibly. A TM and a limited and whatever else as well. Lame. What it is, and we talked about it briefly in previous streams on Twitch, it is a companion app that goes with the main Watch Dogs game and allows you to do multiplayer shenanigans between your iPhone and your console and or PC. Not obviously by you taking control of the main protagonist, I think he's called Ethan or something like that, and running around the streets in a full 3D version of it, because it's not that flashy, let's be honest. What it allows you to do is take control of a map. Essentially, you almost assume control of the mobile phone that the guy's using throughout the whole game, which is one of the reasons I quite like this. Most companion apps are usually a bit rubbish. You can look at the map, maybe, of the screen. Oh, hang on, Danny's reappearing. Almost
Danny,
as...
Danny.
Oh, he's back. Yay! There he is. And
I saw a ghost and I just, you know...
You just freaked. We had naturally assumed you had been killed and brutally maimed by one of the ghosts. We did move on to the other topic in your wake. Sorry about that. But the internet had judged that you had said enough about Lemmings, apparently.
That's where it goes.
And decided to kick you off. So yes, the multiplayer action I was talking about, which you've all seen, because We did a video of this earlier on in the week, and we did it, and it's only a very short video, and it's what's playing in the window you can see right now. So in the video, the left-hand side of the screen shows the iPhone, and the right-hand side of the screen shows the PC version. Peter's playing on the iPhone, I'm playing on the PC. And it's kind of a game of cops and robbers. So Peter's taking control of the city's security systems and police force, and he has a map that he can then move little objects around it. So, for example, there's a police helicopter and there are police cars he can dispatch. And what he does is he taps on the map and drags the helicopter following me while I'm in the car. And obviously my job is to try and escape his pursuit. It's quite nifty when it's working. The problem is, and one of the reasons that this video that's on the YouTube channel, you can go and see it, is one of the few ones up on the internet, is because Uplay has been going mental ever since the launch of Watch Dogs, and most people can't even get in to play the bloody game, let alone access the mobile app. So we've got a little bit of footage of it in action, but every time we've tried subsequently to get it working, it hasn't. However, I got a couple of games out of it, and I like it because it's genuine multiplayer. And it's not just trying to repeat the console experience, it's doing something a bit different with it. And it's actually using the form to fit the function. So if you've played Watch Dogs at all, if you're familiar with the game in any way, you know that your lead protagonist, the gimmick of it, is that the guy has a mobile phone and he can hack all the things around him. He can hack into security systems and cameras, and he can access other people's mobile phones, and he can mess with the traffic lights and, you know, hack the traffic system and all that sort of stuff. And the app, the companion app, essentially lets you do precisely that. It turns your phone into the phone he's using in the game. And your job in the multiplayer version is to hack the security systems and the traffic systems. And then you can see that actually playing out on the screen, albeit in a top-down map version, while the person whom you're battling sees helicopters swinging overhead and police cars appearing from the side and ramming him. That's smart. That's a genuinely good use of the property. It's a good use of the mobile phone, and it's actually a sensible thing to do with a companion app, rather than just making it some little piece of stat collecting software, which is so often what they are. Like, I know that
just maps,
yeah,
just extra. Like, you can look at the map on this screen, but it's already on that screen. So I'm going to look at. I'll just hang on, game. I just have to look down at my iPad to see something, some other salient piece of information that I could have got from you anyway.
Yeah. It's like
pointless.
Because there is a little radar in the lower left hand corner.
Yeah.
It's kind of pointless. I know that there was a Halo app that was released to go with one of them, and you could just see maps and multiplayer maps and manage your friends list and that kind of stuff, which is fine. It's useful enough, but it's not a game, and you can surely do more exciting things. And in the case of this, I think this is actually a very smart use of the tech, because just playing it with Peter, and like I say, go to the YouTube channel and watch the video. It was fun, just both of us there and him directing what he was doing, because I couldn't see what he was doing, and likewise, he couldn't see me. But it was a fun little interaction, and it's a smart use of technology, and I like the idea that you're like on the sofa or even on the bus on 3G or something, and you're playing multiplayer with some dude who's playing the PS4 version in his home. That's kind of cool. There's genuine interaction going on between the two platforms. So credit to them for doing that. Massive negative points for completely messing up Uplay and the launch of the game in that regard, because that's rubbish. I know it's difficult to manage, and I know it's happening more and more. The SimCity launch went tits up. And none of the servers worked. The Diablo 3 launch, GTA 5, the multiplayer was balked in that as well. And same thing with Watch Dogs. And it's all this DRM nonsense that stops you playing it. And in a strange turn of events, makes people who pirate and steal the game get a better play experience than the people who have paid 45 quid to get hold of it. Which is stupid. So
stupid.
Plus points for the clever app, Ubisoft. Big negative points for messing up the DRM stuff. So there you go. But you can download the app for free and give it a try. But I think probably from next week, the week after, you know, it'll probably start working properly. And give it a go. Which leaves us with Harry.
Yeah.
Harry, what have you been playing?
This week, James, I have been playing a video game called Drawn to Life.
Oh my.
For the iPad, I think it's on
it
the
is,
iPhone.
It is iPad well. Only, I think.
Oh, is it?
Oh, I think so, because of, of the screen and the layout and whatnot. No?
Well, anyway, okay. I don't know. I played it on an iPad. It's definitely on iPad,
okay.
So we'll just leave it there and we won't confuse people.
Fair enough.
It is a port of a Nintendo DS game, which came out in the past, and I did not like it very much.
Ooh, okay.
I came to it fresh and quite excited, I must tell you, Danny, because It seemed to me like the perfect fit for the game. You know, it's a game about drawing. I have a touchscreen device. I can touch the screen and draw on it. That seemed like a perfect combination, but unfortunately it was not. It disappointed me greatly for two reasons. And both of those reasons are the controls, but different controls. Ah. It's sort of split into three bits, the game. There's a drawing bit where you draw stuff. There's a sort of story, walky, aroundy bit that's a bit like Zelda. Mm-hmm. And then there are platformy bits. And you would see it as soon as you turn on the game, that the controls have sort of been overlaid on the screen as they would have appeared on the 3DS, whichever DS it was. So there's the four face buttons and the D-pad, and they're just quite kind of sat there minding their own business, and they're not good enough. The thing about a D-pad and a button that actually exist in a lumpy, physical, three-dimensional world is that you know where the edge of them, you know where they stop. Yeah. There is some physical feedback as you move your finger so that you know, if I move further, my man will stop moving, and that is bad. But on a touchscreen, you don't have that at all, obviously, because it's a touchscreen. So what most sensible developers do to get around that is they either have a floating joystick so that it follows your thumb.
Yep.
So that once you've put pressure on the pad, you move it about, or they simplify it and have larger buttons or whatever, but this is very much just a D-pad, and there is not enough leniency there. So once you are off, you will just stop moving. And it makes the platforming's by no means hardcore. It's not, it's not League of Evil or anything like that. Mm-hmm. But you still end up getting whomped by cute little things because you press left to jump away from them and nothing happened. That is part one of the controls. And part two of the controls is the drawing itself. And the drawing, it's a bit gimmicky anyway, because there's no real need for it. You're just drawing things to add into the game.
You're like creating your own character, don't you? You draw your own avatar.
I made a terrifying black-limbed creature called Gorn Bales. It was a nightmare from the first time I created him, because you have templates that you can draw around, and I'm a terrible artist to begin with, but you have templates and you can add to them.
Okay.
So I started off with this template and like drew some blood dribbling out of its mouth because I'm quite strange. But then I forgot to merge them together, so my first character was just like this little dribble of blood wandering around the world, which was quite funny. I thought, actually, this game has potential. But no, the drawing bits, like you draw platforms and stuff, right. But you don't really draw them onto the world. You draw them in this drawing program, and then they are put into the world where there are gaps. So it feels a bit like, well, I'm just finishing off the art department's jobs, and not very well. But
right.
Also, the human finger is quite a lot chubbier than the DS stylus.
I have noticed so
unless
that.
Unless you've sort of chiseled your finger down to a specific point, then actually drawing is quite difficult. Just getting anything that looked like it was worthwhile, the time I'd put in was being rewarded by a nice thing in the game that I had created. Mainly it was just sort of big, fat, splurgy squiggles. Then you can zoom in and get closer, but then you feel like you want to be able to swipe to move around the picture, but that doesn't work, so actually you're just scribbling on it, and then you have to undo it. And it's a game that should have fit brilliantly on the iPad. It should have been a great little game to play, and, draw some stuff and jump some stuff.
Yeah.
And all the bits about it that should have made it great are actually what kind of make it a bit rubbish.
I had to play it a bit to capture the footage that's playing on the screen right now, and when it pulled up the image editor, I was like, hey, this will be fun, because I like doing art and that. You're right that using your finger does feel, as soon as I did it, I was like, oh, I wish I had a little stylus or pen or something to be doing this isn't quite right. And equally, not only do you have the overlaid controls, which is always a bad sign when you see that, you're like, oh no, really, also it's doing that windowed thing. It's doing that thing where it doesn't fill the bloody screen and you've just got a neutral background.
Also, you can also swap. There's a button in the top right corner, and you can swap to see the bottom screen that you would see on the DS.
Oh.
It's really weird because at no point would you need that. I think it's like a pause screen maybe, but you can pause it anyway. It's just it feels like a series of good ideas that have been thrown against a series of bad ideas, and the bad ideas have won.
Oh. That is a shame. Did you play the original one, Danny?
No, I never played them, but I was aware that they're, like, it came out, I think either it or the sequel came out on the Wii as well, and I'm just surprised. Oh. I assumed that it was the Wii version that was being ported to iOS, but evidently not. It looks a bit odd as well, like they have just squeezed a DS game on there.
It's fine when they do the optimization right, but sometimes it really does feel like with the Alone in the Dark game that I was raging on about a week or two ago, it really did feel like they just got the ROM, overlaid the controls, and gone, there you go, that'll do. And you're like, that's not good enough. It's not going to work on a touchscreen properly. It's a bloody game designed for a PC 22 years ago. What are you playing at? And I can see by playing this and spending a bit of time with it, you're like, does feel a bit like they've just done that ROM thing where they resize the image and then just stick a control over the top and go, pfft.
The touchscreen bits, the bits that you can touch, they always have like a stylus hanging over them. And it's like, goading you. It's like, your fat human fingers are no use here.
You should be playing the DS version. You fail. Okay, so perhaps not such a great rating for you. When did it come out? Was it? Is it out this week? It was a brand new thing.
This week, I think it was a Monday or Tuesday release.
Right, okay. So you can get it now if you wish, but it comes with a warning.
Yeah.
Suppose that'll do then. We'll probably leave it there for this week. Thank you for joining us, viewers on Twitch. Thank you, Harry and Danny, joining us. How was the first time, Danny? Are you okay? Apart from the being abducted by ghosts?
Yeah, apart from that, everything went perfectly.
Brilliant. All right, then. So when you sign off now, we're just basically leaving you alone in your abandoned mental asylum, yes?
Thanks for that. Cheers.
That's all right. Well, I've played a lot of Silent Hill, and I know that's the beginning of a really nice story.
Dong!
So look forward to that. Come and join us next week where we'll be doing exactly the same thing, Thursday evening as always, and thank you, podcast people, for downloading, as always. Much appreciated. Leave a review if you like. You don't have to, but you can if you want. Why not? Pay for it. It'll be a laugh. Catch you all later. Night-night, one and all. Bye!
Bye, 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 bye.